Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. The book of Psalm 18. And if you don't mind noticing with me in Psalm 18, starting at verse number 30. Psalm 18 in verse number 30. Notice what it says, Psalm 18 in verse 30. It says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." So if you're habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase in Psalm 18? Psalm 18 in verse 30, some of you may already have it marked, but it says, "His way is perfect." His way is perfect. You know, when we talk about that, we understand sometimes in our head that God doesn't make mistakes. His way is perfect. But to really understand, His way is perfect. That means the way that He has for you is perfect. That means His way is not imperfect, meaning that God doesn't end up having backup plans, or, you know, He made a mistake and now you have to endure something through it and kind of skip and hop and... But His way is perfect. He has a way that's perfect for you, and He has a way that's perfect for me. He has a way that He wants us to go, and that He has a desire to have the best things for us. Notice as it goes on in verse 30, "For as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength." And notice this, "and maketh my way perfect." You know, we need to get to the place where we have a desire in our heart that says, "God, I want Your way to be my way." Because His way is perfect. That's what we desire in ourselves. Do you understand that right now, you either desire God's way or you desire your way? You say, "This is the way I want to go. This is the way that I think is right. This is the way that I think is best." Or we can say, "God, You show me what You want to do and I'll do it. I'll go down Your path because You know more than me." We've already covered in the series that one of the problems we have is a lack of information. We don't know everything. Have you ever thought about that? You don't know everything? Absolutely. Do you know that you don't even know half of everything? You probably don't even know a quarter of everything. We don't have all the information. We don't know all the picture. But God does. He can look and understand all knowledge and say, "This, according to all the information, this is the best way for you." And His way is perfect. Whereas we use our limited knowledge, our limited intellect, our limited scope of experience and say, "You know, I think this is the best way for me." And God says, "No, this is the best way. No, no, no. I know myself." Have you ever had that argument with yourself? "I know what's best for me." You know, somewhere along the path, you say, "You know what? I may have messed up. I may have to do something else here." But God's way is perfect. It is never wrong. So as we go through this little message here and go through Psalm 18, let's carry the idea that His way is perfect. And let's see some things about our God and His way. The first thing I'd like to remind you of in Psalm 18 is that our God delivers. Our God delivers. Notice with me in Psalm 18 in verse number 1. Our God delivers. Psalm 18 starting at verse 1. It says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength." When we talk about deliverance, we carry the idea that God is able to defend us. He's able to deliver us. He's able to give us victory. And it starts off with verse 1 that something about God is that God is my strength. Do you know that God is strong when we are weak? He is always strong. He knows what needs to get accomplished. He is able to go through there. You'll never find God in a bad day. Have you ever had a bad day? Have you ever had a day where your head is foggy? Maybe it's allergies, maybe it's migraine, maybe it's whatever else, and you're having a hard time just focusing on one thing, much less trying to think about everything else? God never has a headache. He never has a migraine. He doesn't suffer through allergies. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have one of those days where his brain doesn't work, where he doesn't get clouded up? There's nothing he misses. That God is my strength. He is strong every day. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't have to say 5 more minutes and hit the alarm until it breaks. You know, God is always strong. He doesn't have a weak moment. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and at my high tower. Notice verses 1 and 2, and notice all the possessive pronouns that we find there. The personal possessive pronouns, verse 1, my strength. Verse 2, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, my salvation, my high tower. You know, that's one of the things about God, is that he's personal with us. He's not something far away and say, you know, if I could just get to that tower. He is my tower, my strength, my buckler. Notice all these terms here carry the idea of a defense, that he's my strength. I could go to him because he's my big brother. You ever see that that idea, that picture of a little kid who's, you know, and the people run away, and it's not because the kid, little kid, it's because of the big brother behind him? Well, God is my strength. He's my rock. You know, it's somewhere where you could stand on where you're not sinking down. He's my rock. I could be there and I'm safe. He's my fortress. This has the idea of a castle or a keep that you could hide behind the walls and the enemy can't get to you. My deliverer. He's able to defeat the enemies. I could hide behind him and let my deliverer work. He's my God. He's my strength in whom I will trust. My buckler. That buckler has the idea of a shield. So he's my shield. He's able to fight off those things that we face. He's the horn of my salvation. Oh, isn't that the greatest deliverance we could ever have, is to be delivered from sin? That all we have here is that God is our defense. We could run to him. He's my high tower. That I could go into the tower and climb to the very top, and I could be safe from all those things that are surrounding us. That we have a God who delivers us, and God can take care of us. Notice it goes on in verse 4. Verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so that I shall be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevent me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. You know, God is waiting for you to come to the place where you see no way out, and you cry unto him, where you go to him and say, God, I need you. And he will deliver you. He will protect you. He will guard you. He will set you on a solid rock. He's just waiting for us to come, and he will hear, and he will deliver. He's a God who is our deliverer. He's our defense. Now, in verses 9 through 17, David breaks through and he praises God. And he talks about all that God can do and all of his marvelous deliverance. And he's speaking and encouraging people about the great God that we have, that he's able to deliver. Our God delivers. Notice the second thing that we get here in verse number 19. Psalm 18 in verse number 19. Psalm 18, verse 19. It says, he brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me, notice this, because he delighted in me. Notice that. He delivered me, why? Because he delighted in me. Do you know that God delights in his children? God delights in his children. You know, we get to the idea that we say God is love. And for those of us who have been in Christianity for a while, we hear that expression and we kind of come to the idea that God is love. So he has to love us. You know, he loves us because he has to. But you know that God just doesn't merely love you. He likes you. Think about that. He likes you. He wants to hang out with you. You know, we all have relatives that we love, but we don't want to go on vacation with them, right? God likes you. Do you understand he delights in you? That God loves you so much and he likes you that when he thinks of you, he smiles. He likes to think about you. Isn't that a wonderful relationship we have with our God? That he's not just God because he has to be. He's our God because he likes us. He delights in us. He wants the best for us. He delights in his children. He likes us. What a wonderful idea. Now, he doesn't just love us and like us, but we are also special to him. He is personally interested in your life. Do you know he cares about what's going on? Someone gave this illustration to my wife not too long ago. My wife has clung on to it. The illustration is that imagine that you're in a castle courtyard and there's a lot of things going on in an old kingdom. There are people going to and fro. There's people delivering messages. There's people doing this and doing that. There are a lot of people who are busy and a lot of things that need the king's attention and running the kingdom. But it's almost like when you come up to the king and says, "Can I get your attention?" He pulls away, sits down, places you in his lap, and you are the only thing he is paying attention to. Think about that. That he delights in you. He's just not trying to ignore you or just trying to nod his head while he's trying to pay attention to everything else. You have his undivided attention when you go up to him in prayer. When you go up to him and say, "Daddy," you have his undivided attention. He delights in you that much that he can pay attention to you. Oh, what a wonderful thing that you can get God's attention, that he delights in you, that he likes you. He wants to spend time with you. He's not looking for an excuse to get away. He likes you. What a wonderful God that we have. He delights in us. Now, think about that. Now, if he delights in you, don't you think he also wants what's the best for you? He wants the best for you. Notice verse 20. It says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands. He hath recompensed us." Now, why does God reward us? Because he delights in us. Now, remember in verse 20, he's looking at our righteousness and the cleanness of his hands. Well, that's because of the cleanliness of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness and that we have Christ's account placed on our account. It's imputed unto us to righteousness, that Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood, has washed us clean. And God looks at us and says, "You're my son. What can I do for you?" He wants to reward us. He wants to do great things for us. He loves us. He just wants us to ask. He just wants us to spend time with him. The Bible says that someday we're going to take what God gives to us and we're going to give it at Jesus' feet. It talks about that later on, that all the things that he gives to us, the crowns and stuff. But there's a God in heaven who delights in you. He longs to do more for you. More than you could ever possibly imagine or dream. Someone put it this way. That, you know, there's a God who wants to answer more prayers than what we give. You know, sometimes we don't pray enough. But we have a God who wants to give to us. I heard a preacher give this illustration that he can imagine when he dies that one of the angels goes and gives him a tour. And he goes into a big warehouse and he looks at all the stuff on the shelves. And he goes, "Hey, look, I've always wanted one of those. Hey, man, I can remember I looked at this and I wanted this. And look at this." And he goes to the angel and says, "What is this?" And the angel says, "This is all the stuff your father wanted to give to you. But you never asked. You never asked." we have a great Father who wants to give us things. Now, I'm not saying that he's a Santa Claus or anything like that, but he is a Father. And he wants to give good gifts to his children. He wants to reward us. We just need to go up to him and ask him, Daddy, Daddy. Now, his way is perfect, and he has all those things in store for us. He just wants us to come to him and depend on him and ask for him. But we have a God who delivers. We have a God who delights in us. We also have a God who directs. A God who directs. Notice with me as we hit verse 22. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. Notice the word judgments and statutes. These are another names for the word of God. So think about this, verse 22. For all his judgments, the word of God, they were before me. I had all of his judgments. I had the Bible there right in front of me. He says, I did not put away his statutes from me. I didn't put away the things of the word of God. I didn't put them away from me. You know how God directs us? By his word. By his word. That, you know how God wants to show us what is the right way? By his word. By his word. Someone comes up and says, Pastor, I'm looking for the will of God in my life. First question I ask, how's your Bible reading? Because God doesn't direct us outside of his word. By the way, it's not an idea that a chapter a day keeps the devil away. No, you need to delight in his word. You need to feast on his word. You need to saturate yourself with his word. You need his word. If you're looking for direction, go to the word of God. And by the way, just don't read the word of God. Apply it. Obey it. He directs your path. He will never direct you outside of the word of God. The word of God is how he leads you. And you say, I've taken this. This is what he's given me to do. I've applied it. That's how he's going to direct you, because his way is perfect. Again, David is saying, I've kept his word. God directs him through the word. He directs us in his life. Notice, hold your finger here and turn with me to Proverbs 14. We're going to jump back into Psalm 18 in just a second. But Proverbs 14. Now, again, we're to the idea that God directs, that his way is perfect. And remember, there's a choice. We're going to pick our way or God's way. Who's going to lead? Who's going to direct? As a reminder, Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you know that for us, there is a way that seems right to us? This is what I believe is to be right. But we haven't searched God's will. We haven't prayed. And you know what happens? That it ends to be the wrong way. There's consequences. There's destruction. It says his ways are ways of death. We know lots of people who say, I don't want God's way. I know what's best for me. And they're heading towards destruction. When we get to the place in our life, especially things of major decisions, and we don't go to the word of God for our direction, where you say, I know what's right. I could figure it out myself. Well, remember, you're either going to depend on your way or God's way. We need God's word, because we can't trust our ways. That's kind of what we're underscoring here. You can't trust your ways. Why? You don't have enough information. You don't have all the knowledge. You don't know everything that's going on. You don't see the consequences. You don't see what's going on. We need God's word, because that's how he's going to direct us. By the way, he's not going to direct you by pepperoni pizza and dreams in the middle of the night. He's going to direct you by his word. He's going to direct you by his word. You need God's word on the matter. What do I need to do about this? Well, I'm directed by God's word. He's going to give you principles. He's going to give you things. He's going to give you things to obey. He's going to direct your path. You say, well, I read my Bible and I didn't find anything about the specific situation. Yeah? But did you find something to obey? Well, then as you obey what he's given you, he'll take care of the rest. Just obey what God has given to you. He will direct your path. One of the promises in the Bible is that he'll lead us on a plain path. You know what that means? That it's going to be a path that's very clear. This is what the next step. And the next step. By the way, he doesn't show you what's 10 steps down the road. He shows you what the next step is. What is my next step? Do this. What's my next step? I do this. What's my next step? I do this. And then when you look back and you say, hey, look, I've been on God's path. I wasn't worrying about that. I was just looking at the next step. Well, that's what you're supposed to do, is look at the next step. You know, I look at my life as a pastor and where God's brought me from, and I say, how in the world did I get from there to here? Well, I just took the next step. Took the next step. And then the next step. I didn't find out what's God's will for my life 5 years from now. I'm trying to make sure I'm in God's will right now. If I'm in God's will right now, then tomorrow's clear. I just do the next step and I get the next step. But if I'm not in God's will right now, well, then I don't have a clear path. What is my next step? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get there? The next step. That's how God directs. Go back to Psalm 18 as we continue with this idea. Notice with me back in Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. Notice this. The word of the Lord is tried. That means that it's been put into the test and found to be correct. That's the wonderful thing about the Word of God, that if you obey the Word of God, it's going to prove itself over and over. My favorite, my life verse is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove. I like that word, prove. That you may prove what is the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what that word prove means? It means that you have evidence for. That means it has been tried and shown to be correct. That it's been put through the trial. I'm not no longer hoping or guessing or thinking that as I've taken the step that He's given me and I've surrendered myself as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto Him, and that I've been working on renewing my mind, and that because of that, I've been not conformed to the world, but be yet transformed. What happens is that He proved Himself, this was the right way. I have evidence for. You know, that's a great thing. You know, whether it was in my marriage, God put my wife and I together very, very clearly. It was Him that put it together. We no longer have to use the divorce word. You know what we do? I mean, murder may be a different thing, but you know, but we have evidence this was God's will. Me being pastor here of the Riverview Baptist Church. God has proved that it was His will. And He's proved it over and over. That's a wonderful thing. That it wasn't just, I'm hoping this is the right path. What had happened is that you take the next step and the next step and the next step. And then you look and God had proved it. Yes, this was the right path. The Word of God is tried. It is proven to be correct time and time and time again. Now, let's pause there. If God's word is proven to be correct time and time and time again, why do we still resist obeying those things that God has given us to do in the Bible? Why do we still resist? Why do we still fight against it? Why do we still try to get my way when God's way is proven? It's never failed. His word never fails. His way is perfect. But we still fight and try to get our own thing. We still battle. We still say, I know what's best. When God's path is still clear and proven. Isn't that a funny thing about us? That's why we need lessons like this to be reminded. His way is perfect. My way is not. My path leads to hell and destruction. His way is the right way. It's proven. It's tried. We just need to go back to the simplicity of the Word of God. This is what God says, obey it, take the next step. This is what God's word said it, take it, obey it. Here's the next step. Obey, obey. And what will happen is that God proves Himself over and over and over. God directs. Notice in verse 31. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? Here again, it's saying, you know, God is the Lord. God's the boss. God has proven Himself. There's no doubt about it. Verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength. And notice this, and maketh my way perfect. Do you know that if you just allow God to direct your path, He will course correct you. You know, that's one of the wonderful things, that if you allow him to be boss, that if we take a step off course, he could redirect us. Now, again, that's part of being sensitive to the Lord and where you're at. I much rather prefer that God course correct me by saying, don't do that. Yes, sir. And then get on the right path. My brother says that he has to have a 2x4 taken to the head repeatedly to get him on the right path. I don't know about you, but I don't like the 2x4 to the head. I'd rather be easily directed from the preaching of God's word, from the reading of God's word, that if I'm getting ready to step off path, God says, no, yes, sir. Then rather get out into the middle of darkness and say, where am I at? And then God has to storm to blow you into the path, to have a wreck to crash you into his path, to do all this stuff to get you to where you're supposed to be. But his way is perfect, and he's able to course correct us. It's how sensitive we are to God to allow him to course correct us. Are you in your Bible? Are you in prayer? Are you directable? Are you pushable? Are you teachable? Are you rebukable? All those things are used to keep us exactly where we're supposed to be, because his way is perfect. Are we allowing God to direct our path? Are we allowing him to do that? By his word, are you rebukable? Do you allow him to do so? Or you say, I'm going to go my own way and then get lost in the dungeon, jungle. Finally, God, I need help. I need help. All right. And he'll direct you back out. I get tired of getting lost out in the jungle, right? I get tired of being in the wrong path. And after a while, that gets old. His way is perfect. And if we allow him through his word to guide us, he will make my way perfect. That we want to get to the place where we know that he delights in us. He's going to lead us on the right path. We want to get to the place where we delight in him and allow him to keep us on the right path. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.